This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes, and maybe even to find your next favorite artist or band. This is FUV Live Sessions with Cassandra Lewis. I'm Megan Oftermatt, and I'm here with host Eric Holland at WFUV. Holland dude, today was a pretty dreamy session. Talk to me about what makes Cassandra Lewis so special.
I mean, you got to start with the voice. It is just a stop dead in the tracks, arresting, stunning voice that she has, and she knows how to use it. I remarked to her about her stepping back off the microphone because she would just blow up the board otherwise. She has got power there. You can tell she comes from a wide variety of styles because some of it is just pure country, but So Bad, for example, is very much, you know, with an R&B flavor to it, and her little vocalizations, she's really bringing a lot to it. It was amazing to watch.
Yeah, it really was. I feel like everybody in the studio who was listening from the booth was honestly just really moved by what she does with her voice. So what are we going to start today's session with?
She is going to do Some Kind of Love, which I referenced a second ago as the pure country one, which is a beautiful love song and a great way to wade in here on a really dynamite music discovery who has had a colorful life, to say the least, and we'll be hearing about it momentarily.
Need you like prayer.
90.7 WFUV, Cassandra Lewis live in our Bronx studios in Studio A. That was Some Kind of Love from the new record, Lost in a Dream. I'm Eric Holland. Pleasure.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, honestly. Thank you. It's my first time in the Bronx.
Oh, brilliant, yeah. Brilliant. One of the things that struck me just watching that performance was when you stepped back from the mic, when you raised the volume on your voice, mm-hmm. and I thought, you know, if she didn't do that, glass was going to break, yeah. and the audio board was just going
to
blow up.
Exactly. I don't think we have enough funding to replace all that yet, so.
Some power there.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it comes from a really, really important place. I think it's the soul and heart and pain and all that, but.
You did the album down in Savannah, which I do not think of as a place to go to record.
I didn't either. I thought we'd be doing it at RCA in Nashville, and it was really cool to get to do it in Savannah. Actually, it's such a beautiful city and the first planned city in the country, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Dave Cobb is a history buff and loved to like walk us around and tell us all about the city, and that's where he's from, and so he's trying to make it his new music city.
Dave Cobb, one of the most accomplished producers, in music history, I suppose.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, so tremendous. You had the chance to work with him. I saw the picture that you posted with him and yourself in Savannah with some very majestic looking trees behind
yes.
you,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you were on a porch or whatever, but it looked wonderful.
Yes, that was the studio, Georgia May, and. I guess we were only the second, or I was only the second artist to record in there. And so it was still under construction when I was there. And it was really interesting. I walked in, I was like, what's going on in here? But it was a really good mojo. And we made a really beautiful thing together. So
yeah, you
I'm
did.
Pretty happy.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
So that's going to be Dave's new home base.
I think one of them. He likes making rooms that sound good. So who knows? He's sort of like an empire at this point. But yeah, that's a very magical one. For certain.
The album title and the album art mm-hmm. both refer to The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
So Lost in a Dream, you're in a field of poppies,
mm-hmm.
And it's a great image. And please talk about, you know, where the connection mm-hmm. was made. Are you a lifelong fan of the film? Did something click somewhere along the sessions, how mm-hmm. did it work?
Well, essentially this record was about a cycle of sort of codependency of mine and in a certain type of relationship, somewhat narcissistic, toxic. I don't like to throw the word around loosely, but it came out of the loss of a really close person to me in relationship, and we no longer speak, and it ended in a pretty harsh way. And so essentially the day I left the person, I drove across the country, moved to Nashville. I had gotten signed with Dave and was supposed to start recording a month later. So I had to get writing. And
there's a story about you getting mm-hmm. signed that we'll have to hop back
yeah.
to.
Yes, I'll tell you about that. But essentially when I was trying to write this, instead of falling apart, which is what I really wanted to do, I had to, you know, I got the opportunity to work with a couple of writers, which I had never done. Emily West, Natalie Hemby, Anderson East, Angelina Presley. I mean, they wanted me to meet people. So they're like, we need you to make some friends over here. So here's some real good friends to make. And they're like, what's alive for you? Or what's wrong with you? Why do you look so sad? And I said, well, I feel like I just got out of a relationship with the Wizard of Oz. And, I'm Dorothy and then all the characters, it sort of all started unfolding. I was like, wow, I didn't realize how much of it actually made sense for this kind of like hero's journey to self-discovery and breaking the cycle of toxic, you know, codependency with the person and healing my mental illnesses and all of this and like kind of trying to show up for myself and be the home that I really was looking for in somebody else. I put them on a pedestal, built a whole city around them. So that's sort of where all the imagery comes from. But yes, I grew up watching and loving that movie. And you have this sort of oblivion in the beginning. You know, she's a wanderlust and she thinks she's in this sepia tone world and is just daydreaming about a better place, you know, being a better person, being around, this great love or something. And then she goes and finds out that she had it the whole time. So that's where all that comes from. It's thick.
Outstanding. Well, you did what great artists do. You take what's in your life and you channel it into something beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
maybe you will go ahead and sing Lost in a Dream for us. Now, this is the one you wrote, Natalie, with Natalie Hemby, who we know from The High Women.
Yes.
And this is the centerpiece of the record.
Yes. Thank you.
Cassandra Lewis, FUV Live.
I fell asleep in a field of red poppies under a cyanide sky. You came to me like a wave of sweet nothings. I inhale your ethereal high, making so long now it seems like a slow motion carousel ride, but my smile disappeared when I reached for your hand just to find I imagined.
.7 Cassandra Lewis doing her thing live in our Bronx studios. The title track to the new record, Lost in a Dream. This is your second album,
right.
But your major label debut, as they say.
Correct.
And you spoke about working with Dave Cobb. Was it a huge difference from recording your first album, which was more of a DIY kind of a thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, indie, it's a lot more accessible indie, you know, making music these days, obviously, and I have a great community in the West Coast that of musicians and engineers and people who all want to like collaborate on the projects. But it was clunky and hard to afford, and so I did construction to kind of afford, you know, some of the beginning sessions.
Great
and
job.
Getting, I know, how dare I? But no, I mean, I'll always have my, I guess, irons in many fires just in case. But yeah, funding the record and got some friends that had kind of struck it. You know, rich in crypto, throw me a couple of ducks here and I would do little house shows and everything. And during the pandemic, it was very difficult. So You know, we ended up
angel investors.
Well, yeah, when I bought it, you know, it definitely was like a couple of year process trying to get it funded and saving my bucks, and then we got it out, and it got sent to Marco Collins, a like legendary DJ up in Seattle, Washington. He was in 107.7 The End, and like first one to play Nirvana on the radio, Pearl Jam, like that. He kind of broke all those artists in the 90s. But working, you know, fast forwarding to getting signed with Elektra, we basically waylaid Greg Nadel, who was the CEO of Elektra, in a parking garage.
I'm glad you brought it up because it's a great little anecdote to share. Had a meeting been arranged, or did you bump into him in the garage and start belting it out? What happened?
You know, I have a penchant for dramatics, you know, so we don't like to do anything nice and easy, as Tina Turner would say. But no, my manager, Bruce, I got linked up with through Marco, and then we both decided, you know, this is who I want to work with. If we don't get Dave Cobb, we'll probably split off. I'll stay indie because my record was already doing pretty well, or my singles were doing pretty well. And so he's like, all right, I'm going to do something and come out to LA. And he didn't tell me that he didn't tell Greg that he was meeting me. This is also during pandemic, so he couldn't go in the building. And so Greg came down to thinking he was meeting, you know, my manager for lunch. And then he saw me and he's like, oh, Bruce, what are you doing? Come on. And so he kind of kept it cool. I didn't realize he didn't know. So I'm sitting there like, oh, well, what can you do for me that, you know, I'm not doing already independently? And like, I'm all nervous. And how can we collaborate on this? And looking back, I realized like, oh, he had no idea. He's like, come on, man, I'm supposed to be eating lunch right now. But it was really loud on the street, on the sidewalk. And so I pulled him into the parking garage to sing for him because the acoustics were better and my guitar strings were dead. And so I sang three songs for him, and he called me about a week later and said, come out to Nashville, Dave wants to meet you. And then sang for Dave, and he signed me on the spot.
Off to the races.
Yeah.
And you went back to that garage and recorded a couple videos,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And I was thinking to myself, you know, a couple of throw rugs and an easy chair, you know, can do wonders for a garage.
I know. They're like, let's just do it in front of the van. I was like, I spend a lot of time in that van. I don't need to see it in any more videos. Let's go get a vintage living room instead. This will be cute.
Eric Holland talking with Cassandra Lewis about the album Lost in a Dream. And it struck me that maybe you might do Somewhere Over the Rainbow in a live show. Has that ever happened?
Oh, quite a few times lately, yes.
That's a natural.
It kind of wraps it all up together in a sweet package.
And you know the Israel Kamikaze Waole version?
Oh.
Brother is?
Mm-hmm.
You do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Grew up listening to that one, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a great song. It's a great movie. It's a great message.
You bounced around epically as a kid. You've lived in like 30 different places in your life, your young life.
Nashville's the 33rd city, yes. Lucky number 33.
You think you'll hang around there a little?
Yeah, I think so. It's a really sweet community. It's not as scary as I thought it would be. I mean, the humidity is rough because I do like to curl my hair, but, you know, I'm going to have to deal with that. The juice is worth the squeeze. It's really sweet and supportive, and I mean, everybody's just world-class musicians there. You have you throw a rock. I mean, don't throw rocks, but throw a chair in Nashville. Morgan Wallen joke.
And had you written with other people before, or was that a new thing? You know,
that was new for me. Yeah. Definitely, I'd been sort of a loner, and I've spent a lot of time on the road and highway and camping and living in cars and farms, and I was really precious with my writing. And I still am very precious with my writing. And so when I, you know, work with somebody, it almost feels like a therapy session where they like kind of more extract the thing that I'm trying to say and help make a good musical bed for it and challenge the words with each other and make sure that's the most, you know, in my voice, you know, and surgical way that I can deliver the message, or painterly way that I can kind of deliver what I want to say. So it was really amazing to get to work with them.
After working with Anderson East and Natalie Hemby, who you know, certainly have tremendous resumes, and Dave Cobb, what if you can take away anything to go into the future, like, you know, either I learned this or I noticed this that I want to incorporate going down the line. Can you pinpoint anything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just would be less precious with my recordings and the process. I think the collaboration is exactly what I needed, kind of to heal my heart and pull me out of a sort of slump that I was in. Once you make music, it is for everyone. You release it, and the world takes it. The world, you know, loves it, hates it, listens to it every single day, or they never want to hear it again. And there's no control that you have over that. And so, you know, if I could have learned anything, it would be to be fearless with trying new things in writing and with people. And, you know, I don't think it does any disservice to an artist's resume to work with other people. And a lot of people will say, oh, well, she doesn't, you know, write her whole songs. Like, yes, but, you know, neither does a band, you know, have one person who plays all the instruments at the same time, unless you are that kind of person. You know, it's this collaboration that makes it really magical. So I think I would do more of that and spend less time alone in the woods.
Let's do a few quick true-false. you formally billed yourself as Dolly Parton on acid.
Yes, true.
Love that. You sold loose joints out of the back of a Subaru you shared with your dog and cat after a wildfire burned down your marijuana farm in Northern California.
This is true. You were terrible, and I apologize to anyone who had to buy those.
You won regional fame as a child yodeler in Idaho.
That's also true. I wouldn't say within my family home or within my French group, but yes, there was a select number of people that enjoyed my yodeling.
Well, I am really looking forward to many albums into the future, because you have lived, Cassandra Lewis. You've got some things that are going to come out mm-hmm. into lyrics, you know, yeah. for decades, I would imagine.
Yes, I hope to be prolific in this work. And every time I don't do music, the universe seems to pull me out in a pretty aggressive way and put me back on track. So I hope that... Yeah, I hope that everybody listens and start to finish as vinyl records were intended. The story starts in a spot and it ends in a spot. So sit in a room together with your friends, put your phones away, and listen to it.
And you've got a little local connection through Gianni, who played guitar mm-hmm. alongside you. Two guitars on those first couple of tracks. Gianni from Oyster Bay, Long Island.
That's right. Local boy.
Yeah. And you'll be in the city for a show at Brooklyn Steel on September 5th
yes.
With Alan Stone.
Yes. Good old Uncle Al. Come on out. Uncle Al is the most entertaining and charming and talented person I've met in a long time.
Yeah.
And a sweet, sweet man.
And if you will indulge us with one more performance.
Oh, yeah.
The one I got turned on to you by this song, and I think the FUV audience did the same. Through So Bad.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Can't Pretend It Doesn't Hurt Me When You Lay Another Down. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
And a little Nina Simone in the DNA here.
Oh, yeah. I loved Nina Simone. Ella Fitzgerald. I mean, Aretha. All the great divas. And then, you know, anything from there to Patsy Cline and Pink Floyd. So it's a weird mix of all kinds of stuff. But, yeah.
Well, brilliant chatting with you. Thanks for the hang.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
The album is Lost in a Dream. The artist is Cassandra Lewis. And the song right now is So Bad, FUV Live.
There's an evil in your smile. There's a darkness in your eyes. There's a reason why you're all alone with only your disguise. But I loved your shadow then, and I love your shadow now. But I can't pretend it doesn't hurt me when you lay another down. Why you gotta treat me so bad? Why you gotta treat me so bad? Twisted in your mind, I have seen the other side. You ain't broken, but the games you play make you look like a child. And I wanna be a lover, and I wanna be your friend, but I swear to God, if you don't wake up to love, this is the end. Why you gotta treat me so bad? gotta treat me so bad. Tell me, baby, why you gotta treat me so bad, baby, baby, yeah. Why you gotta treat me so bad? I've been good to you.
That was Cassandra Lewis performing And in Conversation at WFUV in New York. A big thank you to the band for joining us in our studio and to Elektra Records and Red Light Management. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara and Aaron Merriman. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Simone Yanez and Catherine Sherman. Megan Aftermat is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York. I'm Eric Holland.